Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. We're glad that you're here on this day that's special for us. It might not be special for everybody else, but for us, it's our church's 25th birthday, and we're pretty excited about that. So we are glad that you've joined us for worship today, all of you that are gathered here in the room with me, and those of you who are joining us online, we're glad you're with us too. We like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using, I think, as long as they've been Christians. The Lord be with you. Thanks. The reason that we say that to each other on a Sunday morning is because we need to be reminded that God is with us, that He meets us right where we live, right in the middle of all the stuff. I know some of us today are walking in, we're full of joy and thanksgiving and life is good. Others of us, we're bringing a lot of pain or grief or struggle with us into worship today. And some of us are somewhere in between, but we bring all of it with us as we come to the God who made us and loves us. So let's bow our heads and let's pray to Him as we begin. Thank you, God. Thank you for loving us and inviting us to meet with you today, to worship you, to sing to you, to pray to you, to listen for your Spirit speaking through the Scriptures, to gather around the table of our Lord Jesus. God, we are grateful for all of it. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you today. Help us, God, to not be shy about bringing all of our stuff to you today. Help us to be willing to be honest with you about what we need, about our thanks, about our praise, to just be honest with all of it, God. Because we don't want there to be anything in between us and you today. We don't want to be keeping you at a distance by putting up some false front or pretense, God. So help us just to be honest with you so that we can receive all the grace, all the goodness, everything that you want to give. We are so grateful. We are so grateful for the love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I've already had some of you ask, hey, where's Missy? And she is horrible sick, all right? So please be praying for Missy, for her to get healthy again. Thankfully, she's not the only person who can play or sing. And so Miguel and Phil are going to be leading us instrumentally, and these three lovely ladies are going to lead us vocally. So are we ready to stand and sing? All right, great.
Good morning, everybody. So we all know that today is the birthday. So I'd like you to join us in singing Happy Birthday to the Church.
Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Living Hope. Happy birthday to you and many more.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the land. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the land. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy. Holy forever. If you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. If you walk in freedom, greatest. your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high. King of kings, holy, you will always be, holy, holy forever. Got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end. Again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, and I've nothing else left for a king, except for a heart singing is a hallelujah. except for our hearts singing hallelujah. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after.
Amen. Amen. I invite you to join me in prayer, would you? God, we are so thankful for your faithfulness. You truly, truly have been so good to us. This week has been a heavy week for many of us. Even if our personal lives have been good this week, Lord, we look around us at what's going on in our world, and so much of it weighs heavily on us. But Father, we know and we can trust that you still are faithful. You still are a good God. You still are working in every situation that weighs us down, that worries us or concerns us, Lord. There's nothing happening in our lives, in our communities, in our country, in our world that you aren't aware of. I thank you for the foundation, the solid foundation that that gives us to trust in you, to know that you are working all things for our good. I thank you for each person that's here, for the celebration we get to participate in this morning. Lord, for 25 years, you've been faithful to Living Hope and to its people. And we are so thankful this morning. I thank you for the people who have come and gone, who have been a part of this congregation, a part of this family, Lord, that you have sent into other places to minister, sent into other places to be salt and light. And for those people that have stayed to be salt and light right here. And I pray, Lord, for your blessings on this church for 25 years to come and more. Thank you for a pastor who listened to your voice and who was obedient to your voice to plant this church 25 years ago. And for the people, Lord, that committed along with him, that had that same vision and listened to your voice also, so that this church could be established and we could be here today. I pray that you'll be with all each of us, be with Pastor Rich as he brings the message. May we hear it, may we receive it, Lord. And may we take it with us in our hearts and in our minds from this place into our communities, into our homes, into our world, Lord, so that we in turn can be salt and light, that we can be good representatives of who you are to the world. For all of this, we do thank you and praise you. We give you honor and glory as we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
Oh, this is fun. We've got some folks here that helped us start the church 25 years ago, and that's always fun to get to see some friendly faces. Real quick, I just want to say hi to all of you joining us online. Since we didn't get to just rub shoulders with you, if you could drop us a note in the comments, some of you already have, just letting us know that you're with us. Some of you already wishing happy birthday. Thank you. We're glad to have you with us today. And for all of us, if there's any way that we can be praying for you, answering a question for you, maybe you're just thanking God for something, or maybe you want to give us some feedback, some helpful feedback about something you experienced today, you can do that by going online to livinghope.info/connect, or you can grab one of those little green cards in the back and drop it in the offering box. And if you're giving today, you can drop that in there too, or you can give online. That all works. But I do want to say real quick, go ahead and pop that little 25th birthday thing up there. Do we have that? Yeah. So we're having a party after the second service today. So you guys are all here at 9 o'clock, which means when this service ends around 10, you're going to have some time to kill. So they won't have the food ready yet or any of that outside. So if you're going some, don't like go fill up at a breakfast place and then come back, because there's going to be good food here. And I hope that you'll join us for the party that start around 11:30, 11:45, whenever that is. We'll have some games outside for the kids. Hopefully the bounce house will show up. We'll see. But it's not here yet. It's got me a little nervous. But anyway, it's going to be fun. And I do want to say real quick, I'm just going to point people. I never get to do this. I never say, like, you know, name people and shout at them. So Ron and Betty Smith helped to start this church. They were at my dad's church in Portage, where we gathered a group of people together to help get this thing going. So thank you guys for making the trip and being here today. Yeah. And thank you for helping us make this thing. These guys, you know, when you start a new church and there's just a handful of you doing it, kind of everybody does everything. And these guys have done all sorts of different things to over the years to help us get going, and stuck with us for a long time before retirement pulled them away to warmer climes. But somebody who didn't go quite that far away is Mark Bogart over here. If you didn't get a chance to meet him, he played guitar and sang and helped us start this thing 25 years ago. So we are all getting all getting older, I'm realizing. So, yeah, I'm feeling it. People have been asking me, like, oh, so how old were you when you started the church? And it's pretty easy math for me because I'm 50. I was like, I'm minus 25. I can do that math in my head pretty quick. It's been that long. It's hard to believe. By way of announcements, if you got one of these, just on the back, wanted to make sure you knew that this Thursday night is one of those monthly worship nights. We're doing it together with some other churches and different folks, so if you want to be here Thursday night at 6:30, it's going to be a good service. Lasts about an hour, music, message, all that. It's good. And it's not me, so you don't have to worry about coming and me just giving the same message I'm giving this morning. It'll be somebody else, something new. So, and then every Wednesday night, there's a Bible and Life discussion group that happens here at 6 o'clock. The youth group meets at 6:30, and any of those you guys are welcome to. I guess only welcome to the youth group if you're in middle school and high school, but the other one's for anybody. So anybody's welcome in the other group. And we usually discuss kind of whatever's going on in life, or sometimes we have all kinds of questions from the Sunday service or whatever. And then every Wednesday, too, you can stop out and get lunch at the Fresh Starts food truck. It sits out there during the week, because we're kind of its home, but it's home base. But then Wednesdays, they open it up and they serve us lunch. Other days of the week, they run off to other places and serve lunch. So if you'd like to support their mission, helping people that are coming out of incarceration, they'd love to serve you lunch. And they're going to be helping serve the meal today. We've got some folks bringing pulled pork, and there's going to be fried chicken. But then the truck also is going to have their burgers and dogs and fries if you want any of that. And that's all free, so you don't have to pay them. I had some people ask, like, well, what if we want to chip in for it? Well, just shove some money in the box back there if you want to. That's fine. But otherwise, just enjoy the meal. So it's a birthday party, and you don't usually... you don't have to pay to go to a birthday party usually, do you? I guess you have to bring a gift usually. I don't know. Okay. It's not that kind of party, so don't have to worry about it. to get me focused in right now, I would love it if we could kind of quiet our hearts, maybe close our eyes, and talk to God for a second as we begin here. God, thank you. Thank you for this time where we get to center our hearts on you, open our minds to what you might want to say to us. Help us, God, to hear your voice, not just my voice, not just the voice of those who wrote these scriptures eons ago, but God, help us to hear you speaking to us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it was 25 years ago that we started this church. We had worked for about a year before that, about 9 months, a year before that, I was on staff of my dad's church in Portage, and we were gathering some people together to help launch a new church out this direction. And and we just put the word out, hey, if God's moving you to help, come on out. We had some information meetings. We started getting together. Who's going to do what? What kind of church is this? Do you even want to be a part of helping start a church like that? It's going to be a little bit different than the church we're coming from, and we're not sure exactly how, but here's some of the things we think we're going to do. And we had dreams. We had ideas. And then we got the chance to try to make those dreams a reality. And for 25 years, we've had the same mission. You know, we haven't, we've had to change all kinds of things. For 9 years, we met in a banquet hall, the Aberdeen Manor Banquet Hall on State Road 2, if you've been down that way. It's a great venue for weddings and parties and meetings and stuff like that. This is before they built the chapel out front, so we weren't in the little church-looking building. We were just setting up in the banquet hall, and that's one reason why we have tables today, is because the very first Sunday they were saying, like, well, how do you want the room set up? I was like, I don't know, some rows of chairs, I guess, facing that way, and they said, well, how about, you know, there were some tables in the back. I said, yeah, we're not going to need all this space. Yeah, you can just leave some tables back here if you want, and people sat at the tables. So I think the next time we put some tables like on the side, and then the next time we put some up front, and we just kind of moved it around and tried different things, and eventually kind of settled into what we have here, because so many of you like sitting at the tables, and some of you don't, and that's great. We have chairs in the back. So 9 years in a banquet hall, setting up every Sunday morning, those are fun times, I thought. But I was younger then, so getting everything out of the trailer every Sunday and setting everything up, you know, having to run all the wires and move everything and put the speakers and everything else, setting up the kids' area, everything had to get set up and everything had to get torn down. It was a lot of work, but like I said, it was kind of fun. And then we finally got tired of that. We found a space that we could rent all the time behind Harley-Davidson on Highway 30, and that was fun too. We got to be involved with some ministries that we hadn't been able to be involved with before. Because by then, there was a rotating men's shelter that went from church to church, and we'd never had a floor for them to sleep on. Now we did. But those spots were all taken, And there was another group starting a similar thing for women. And so we got in on that. And we had women sleeping on our church floors one night a week for half the year. And many of you were involved with that. Some of you were involved with that. I know for some of you, it's like, this is all way before I got here, because most of you in the room have shown up since we moved here. 2014, our five-year lease was running out there behind Harley-Davidson. And the people on the board were looking at what we were paying in rent, and they were looking at prices for buildings, and they thought, yeah, we really should just buy our own space. And man, I'm glad that we found this spot, because we hadn't been in town before that. You know, we'd been out on Highway 2, where people just kind of drive by. Nobody really walks by anything on Highway 2, right? Not usually. We were behind Harley-Davidson on Highway 30. Again, not a lot of walk-past traffic there, you know? We're kind of tucked away in a corner. Unless you got like made a wrong turn on your way to Susie's Cafe, you didn't drive past us. But then we landed here, and all of a sudden, we found ourselves right on the path where anybody that was maybe utilizing the services for people struggling with housing up the road and walking down to downtown to maybe use the resources in the library or something else. And suddenly we found ourselves really connecting with many of our neighbors who were in need of all sorts of different things. And you guys stepped up in beautiful ways, hosting an overnight warming shelter for two different winters to make sure that people weren't, making sure our friends weren't freezing to death out there. All kinds of different ways that we've participated in different shelter ministries. And now some of you are volunteering over at Daybreak Shelter now that it's been built, now that there's a place and they don't have to sleep on church floors anymore. Which, by the way, if you're not familiar with that or not aware, when they built the thing to have enough for beds for 24 people, I think, right, Mitch? 24 people, but at first they were only allowed to open up the first floor and have 12. Well, they've got permission now. They've got both floors open, and as soon as they did, all those beds were full. So there are 24 guys that used to sleep on church floors and now have a bed in a room where they get to sleep in the same room every night. During the day, the day center is open. There's services that are provided, helping these guys get back on their feet. It's a beautiful thing. And then there's also the warming center attached that's got anywhere from a half a dozen to a dozen people, warming and cooling center. And some of you go and you volunteer during the night to make sure that people in that cooling center or warming center have the supervision needed for us to be able to provide that. Thank you. I'm saying all this to say thank you for the ways that you guys have stepped up and loved your neighbors over 25 years. It's been a beautiful thing to be the pastor of this church and to see that when opportunities arise, by and large, you guys say, well, yeah, how can we help? How can we be a part of that? And that's been a good, good thing. I'm grateful for it. So that's really kind of the third part of this little mission statement that we've had. You've got it there in your notes that for 25 years, we've said we're here connecting with God, with each other, and a world that needs God's love. And yes, that mission, the loving our neighbors and serving our neighbors who need God's love, who need that love to be shown in practical, tangible ways, that is the outflow of all this, but it starts with that first one, that first connection with God. That's where the motivation comes to do that. That's where the desire to help comes from, is from connecting with the God who made us and who loves all of us so deeply that when we see a need out there, a person with a need, God, the heart of God touching our heart says, oh, I love that person. That somebody's got to help. And you guys, as you've grown more and more connected with God, have found yourselves more and more connecting with your neighbors and with those needs. So we're gonna talk about those, but today I want to really focus in on that first one, the connecting with God. And you can think of it, I put there in your notes, that connecting with God, you can think of it as like three dimensions to life, if you'd like. I've heard some people put it this way. I didn't hear this until a few years ago, but it made sense to me and I liked it. Connecting with God is kind of the up direction. Connecting with each other is kind of that inward direction where believers are connecting with each other. And then connecting with the world that needs God's love is kind of that out, moving back out to serve together. And up, in, and out. If you're going to live the full life that God wants for you, that He created you to live, you're going to live like a three-dimensional life, right? You're going to live life with all of these connections, all of these things, all these pistons firing. I'm not sure which analogy to use there. All of this happening. And my guess is that for most of us, like one of these comes more readily than others. There's some aspect of it that you're like, oh man, I love connecting with God and I love being a part of His mission, but oh man, I struggle with like connecting with other believers. Or maybe you love connecting with other people, but it's the mission that's the struggle. Or maybe you love being with other people and love serving, meeting needs, but the whole idea of connecting with God is like, I don't know about that. I'm not even sure there is a God up there. That's what we want to talk about today. We have scriptures that Christians have been reading for a couple thousand years now, and including this from John's Gospel. John, one of the people that wrote about the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." He says, like, there's a path that we find ourselves on that's leading to death. It's destroying us, and God doesn't want that for us. So he gives us his Son to get us off of that path and onto the path to eternal life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I loved it. Romeo used that passage a couple Sundays ago when he was up here preaching, our youth director, reminding us that God's not here to condemn us. That's not why Jesus came. Not so he could find all the dirty, rotten sinners and say, "Shame on you." You know, he sent Jesus to save us, to help people who are aware of their need, who are hearing that there's a way out, who are hearing that there's help available, and say, "Yes, please, I'd like that." Jesus says, "Well, yeah, then come on. Let's go. Eternal life is here, is possible now." One of the early leaders in the church, the Apostle Paul, wrote this to the Christians in Rome. He said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's the same idea. It's like when we sin, when we disobey God, we find ourselves, there's consequences with that, right? We all know this. I mean, take away if the sin part bugs you or rubs you the wrong way, take out the sin part, okay? Just think about how there are consequences to our actions. We know this, right? If you stay up late, real late, like I did last night trying to get ready for today's party, you stay up real late the next day, you're tired, you're loopy, you might be cranky. My apologies if I get cranky. If you do like one of my boys did and you wake up early and you decide that you want candy and you shove your mouth full of candy first thing in the morning, you're probably going to have a stomach ache, you know, as the day progresses. You know, you got to have some other food in there before the candy hits, or you're going to have a problem, right? We know there are consequences, and some of us have felt those consequences. You know, years of doing things to our bodies we maybe shouldn't have done, and now we're paying for it, you know, shoulders and aches and pains and all kinds of stuff that goes wrong. Some of us have found that with relationships, you know, or with life in general. There are consequences. We earn consequences with our behaviors. And when we're living a life that's not the way that God created us to live, when we're living a life that's selfish, that's self-centered, that's just trying to please us, then that leads to, it's a perishing kind of life. It leads us to death. But God gives us this beautiful gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's in Jesus that this connection gets made, right? That's why we talk about Jesus so much here. Is because if we want to connect with God, the way we connect with our Heavenly Father, the God who made us and loves us, we connect through Jesus. Jesus is the one who reaches out to rescue us from the burning building, from the quicksand, from the whatever we're sinking in, the miry clay, to use one of the hymns I grew up singing that comes from one of the Psalms. You know, he pulls us out. It's Jesus that comes to us in the midst of our yuck, in the midst of our mess. And he reveals God to us. I think sometimes we miss out on this connection with God because of our misconceptions about who God is. We think that God is just eager to smite us or something, right? He's waiting for us to do the wrong thing. Was it a Far Side cartoon, I think? That's what's in my head. The picture's like kind of looking over God's shoulder, and God's pictured as like, you know, an old bearded guy with long gray hair and wearing a robe, and he's looking at a control panel that's got like a picture of the earth, and there's a button that says smite, and he's just got his finger hovered over it, right? He's just waiting. He's just waiting to hit the smite button. And some of us, that's how we've thought about God, that he's just watching us, waiting for us to screw up. And as soon as we do, boom, he's like, yeah, I got another one. You know, he's just ready to smite us, to give us consequences. And so, of course, we're like not eager to connect with a God like that. Or we think of God as distant or absent, uncaring. We go through stuff and like, God, where are you? And God doesn't seem to show up right away or doesn't seem to answer our prayers in the way that we're wanting him to. And so we think, well, God must not care about me. And we get this picture that God is distant, uncaring, disconnected. Like, well, why would I try to connect with a God who doesn't seem to care about connecting with me? Or maybe we just feel so down on ourselves that we, you know, are ashamed or guilty that we think, you know what, I'm like a stinky diaper to God. God didn't want me around, you know? And I picture, if God's like a father, then I'm like the stinky diaper that he, you know, keeping at arm's length and plugging his nose, like, I gotta deal with this one, but I don't want to, right? And we think of ourselves that way, perhaps. Maybe because we've been treated that way by others. Maybe because, I mean, there's a scripture that says that our righteousness is like filthy rags. The best we can do is kind of gross by comparison to what God wants for us. Apart from God, we can't make this life go. But God isn't like holding us at arm's length. Yeah, sin stinks, and it kills us and kills the people around us. We've seen that on display this past week in some pretty graphic and ugly ways. But that sin doesn't cause God to keep his distance from us. God loves us so much that when he sees us doing these kinds of things to each other, he moves close. In Jesus Christ, he comes to us. And that's why Jesus says, look, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. If you want to know what God's like, you look at Jesus. Look at how Jesus treated sinners. And Jesus did not keep his distance from them. Jesus didn't. There were people in Jesus' day who did, religious people, people who shared his faith, the Jewish faith. They'd read the same scriptures that Jesus had about all that God had done creating us and forming a people and leading them out of slavery in Egypt and giving them a land and all that God had done. And what they took from all of that was that we gotta keep these dirty, rotten sinners, like, we gotta shame them into, like, changing. That the way that finally God's gonna come through and everything's gonna be made right is if we just kind of push the sinful people out and make ourselves all nice and pure. And maybe they'll change and they can be a part of us, maybe, if they can live up to our standards, God's standards, and maybe. And Jesus shows up and says, guys, you're reading this thing all wrong. God doesn't want to just, like, he doesn't want to make us pure by, like, pushing out all the dirty folks. He wants to clean up the dirty folks. He wants to change us into people who reflect his grace and his love, who live the life he created us to live. And that's why Jesus has this moment in Luke 15. It's a story that you've probably heard before. I know many of you have, but I feel like it's worth going back to. It's one of the classics. If you've not heard it before, hey, you're here on the right Sunday, because this is like a classic here, okay? It says, now the tax collectors and sinners, this is all the dirty, rotten sinners, we're all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. That was the best mutter I could do, sorry. They did not like this. They thought, Jesus, if he's a teacher, if he's from God, if he's a prophet, he should be hanging with us, the clean people, the people who've got their act together. He shouldn't be welcoming all these dirty, rotten sinners. And so Jesus tells them some parables. We're skipping over the one he tells about the lost sheep. And we're skipping over the one about the lost coin. And we're going straight to the third one about a lost son. You can read the others if you'd like later in Luke chapter 15. But he says, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. It's basically like saying, I wish you were dead so I could collect now. And the father does it. He's divided his property between his sons. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. All that the father had worked so hard to accumulate so that one day he could pass it on to his kids and they could enjoy this life, his younger son just goes and wastes it all. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. That's a polite way of saying he was hungry. He had nothing. And all those friends that were happy to hang around when he was flush with cash all of a sudden had other places to be. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And this line right here is one of my favorites in the whole story. When he came to his senses. And I know that for some of you, as we've talked about people that you love, some of your kids, grandkids, family members, friends who are wandering in a distant country still and wasting all that God has given to them. I joined you in praying, God, please help them to have one of these come to their senses moments. He does. He comes to his senses and he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. he's hoping that maybe he can at least get a job because, man, the people that work for Dad, they get fed, they get paid, and I don't deserve to be a son anymore. I've shamed him. I'm sure that showing up is going to be disgraceful. Hopefully he'll see me. But if the neighbors see me coming, then he might have to keep his distance, and I know I'm an embarrassment. But the story that Jesus tells says, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father interrupts. He says to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. That's what you did in those days. When the big party, you'd have one of the cattle that you were serving. Like, you got that one especially plump and juicy because you knew someday we're going to want to feast on it. And that's the one. He says, it's time. That's the one. We're breaking out the good stuff. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. It's a beautiful picture of the grace of God that he has for all of us who wander off. And Scripture says we've all wandered off. But in case you're sitting here thinking like, well, I'm not that bad. I mean, I haven't wasted all that God's given me. I'm trying. I'm doing a pretty good job. I'm doing like what I should with the life God's given me. There's another son in the story. It says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Well, your brother's come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, not brother of mine, but son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, and we see the father's heart here for both of his boys. You are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. As Romeo said a couple weeks ago, if we are followers of Jesus, if we want to reflect the grace of our Lord Jesus to the people around us, we cannot live like this older brother. We can't hold grudges against the people that have wronged us or who have done things a way that we never would, because that's not how God feels about them at all. And both sons in this story were missing out on the relationship with God, with the Father, that he wanted to have with them. Both of them were. The younger son, because he'd wandered off, he decided, I'm not living by Dad's rules anymore. I'm going to get out of the house. I'm going to live by my own rules. I'm going to do what I want. And he, you know, runs his life right into the ditch. The older son didn't do that. He was playing by all the rules, but did you hear how he thought of himself? I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, but you've never given me a thing. Like, he does not have a great relationship with his dad. He sees his dad as like a taskmaster or something. It's possible for any of us, no matter what our lives are like, to miss out on the connection with our Heavenly Father that he wants to have with us, this relationship that he longs to have with us. If that's you, if you've been, and maybe it's for legitimate reasons, maybe you have kept your distance from the church for all kinds of reasons, kept your distance from God for all kinds of reasons that are completely legitimate, all right? I'm not going to argue with you. If it might be that you've bumped into some religious folks who are more like these Pharisees and teachers of the law, maybe a pastor, maybe me, hopefully not. But maybe there was somebody that you felt like, well, man, they just judged me. They shamed me. I tried. I reached out for God. But then there was, you know, this leader that did that or this other thing. Or maybe they had a failure that really rocked your world. And you're like, man, I thought they were telling me the truth about what God can do in a person's life, but they were living a lie. Maybe this whole thing's a lie. We Christians haven't done ourselves any favors over the years. The ways that we take sides and join in political battles that we have no business fighting. The ways that we look down our noses at people loved by God. The ways we keep people at arm's length and treat them like they're a stinky diaper. Instead of seeing, this is somebody God loves. somebody that God wants to draw close. This is somebody that, if they're turning to their Heavenly Father today, He's not going to keep His distance. He's going to embrace them and kiss them and welcome them home. Please don't miss out on the relationship that God wants with you, the full life that He wants you to have. That's what the last scripture I put in your notes there is from John's Gospel. And I would encourage you, if you're here today and you're thinking like, well, I don't know about this whole thing. You say that if I want to know about God, I look at Jesus. That's what I'm saying, all right? I would encourage you, just read one of the accounts of Jesus' life. We have four different ones in our Bibles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all tell it a little differently. A lot of people start with Matthew. Some people start with John. Luke is pretty cool, I think. I like Luke. Mark's, he's just fine. He's shortest if you want to read a short one. Anyway, read one of them. Read about Jesus. Read what He taught. Read how He lived. And see if there isn't something that resonates with you. And think, well, if that's true, if God is like Jesus, then maybe I could connect with a God like that. That's what we believe. That's what all of us who are saying yes to Jesus, we've pinned our hopes on. That's our faith. Is it like Jesus said here in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, to keep us on that path that leads to perishing and death. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. It's a full life. It's a rich life. It's a beautiful life when you're connected with the God who made you and loves you, and when you continue to nurture that connection. When you don't take it for granted, like that older brother perhaps did. When you live with a full awareness of God's grace and love and presence and power. And when you participate with Him as part of the body of Christ, as part of His people. When you connect on the inside, with each other. And when you connect with God's mission in the world, it all fits together. It's a beautiful thing. Hey, I looked back to see what I'd said when we were starting this church. And there's a little excerpt from the very first message that I preached from the music stand at Living Hope. I was going to say from the pulpit. We don't really use it. Anyway, it wasn't at our grand opening in September, though. It was back in June. We had done monthly preview services, hey, get a taste of what's coming. And just once a month did a little service. And that helped us all kind of recover and figure out, okay, how do we do another one of these in a month? Gave us a month instead of a week. And the very first message, I said this. I said, I can't speak for every church, but I can speak for this one. Here at Living Hope Community Church, we are all about connecting people with God, each other, and a world in need of God's love. Our dream is for this to become a place where ordinary people can get connected to God and be transformed by His love and grace. We dream of a church that sees the lost and hurting and the proud and self-sufficient with God's eyes of love and compassion. A church that sees these people the way God sees them and welcomes them, extending to them the help and the hope that they've been looking for. We dream of worship services that are authentic, relevant, that are true to life as it really is, with all of its joys and all of its pains, where people at all different places on their spiritual journey will find encouragement as they continue to seek after God and as God seeks after them. We dream of a church where everyone is consistently moving forward on their journey with Christ, where every believer is connected to a small group of other believers for support, encouragement, spiritual growth, where people can know others as they really are and be known themselves as well. They can serve and be served, love and be loved, celebrate and be celebrated. We dream of a church in which every believer is using the gifts and abilities God's given them to serve the people around them. Instead of pressuring people to serve in ways that aren't suited for them, we'll encourage people to serve in the way that God shaped them and planned for them to serve. We dream of a church that is known in the community for its selfless acts of service to those in need, both here and around the world. And we dream of other things too, of course. Facilities used 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for worship, education, recreation, community events. We dream of helping start another new church within 3 years. It took us 5, but we got there. We have big dreams for Living Hope Community Church, and we believe they're God's dreams too, because we've seen what God wants His church to be, and He has convinced us that it is possible. And I want to welcome you to be a part of it. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, whether you're just starting to ask questions about who God is and whether or not He exists, or whether you're a saint who's followed God all your life, this can be the place where you get connected with God, His family, with a hurting world in need of His love. I got to say, looking back at that 25 years later, I'm grateful for the progress we've made, for the ways that we've stayed true to chasing that dream. Do we still have room to grow? Oh, of course we do. We are not a perfect church. But like that little mention in there of a church known in the community for its selfless acts of service to those in need, That is the reputation you have in this community. I don't know if you're aware of that. But I hear people tell me that all the time, like, oh, yeah, you're the church that does this. Oh, yeah, you're the church that does that. They're aware of the ways that you love your neighbors, the ways you welcome folks here on a Sunday or Wednesday or whenever, the ways you leave this place and serve in the community. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of this journey and for letting me continue to be a part of it. I hope, I mean, we sang at the beginning what somebody sang, and many more, after that happy birthday song, right? I'm hopeful for many, many more years of life together as Living Hope Community Church. I look forward to seeing the ways God's going to continue to shape us and develop us as we continue to follow Him and keep in step with His Spirit. As we continue to connect with the God who made us and loves us and has gathered us together as His people, as His heart continues to shape our hearts so that we look at ourselves the way God sees us, so that we look at others the way God sees them. That's my hope for all of us. That's what I'm going to pray and ask God for right now. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus so that we know that when we have messed this thing up, when we have failed, when we've fallen flat on our face, when we've wasted the life you've given us, you don't keep us at arm's length. You don't keep your distance from us at all, but instead you come close to us, just like you did in your Son, Jesus Christ. You came to messed up, dirty, rotten sinners like me, and you pointed us toward the God who loves us, the God who made us, the God who wants more than anything else for us to get off that path that leads to perishing and death and to get on the path to eternal life. Thank you, God, for helping us to turn our feet in a new direction. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you for washing us clean. Thank you, Jesus, that by your death and resurrection, you took on the powers of sin and death and the devil, and you defeated them. You defeated them, and now we get to share in that victory that you have won. Our sin doesn't need to dominate us anymore. The devil doesn't need to get to have any say in the kind of life that we live. Our past failures no longer define us. But God, you are giving us life, a full, beautiful life with you, with each other, being a part of your good work here in the world. Thank you, God. Thank you. Help us not to miss this. Help us not to miss this relationship that you desire to have with each and every one of us. Forgive us, God, for the ways that we have painted a picture of you in our own minds and in the minds of others sometimes, of the kind of God that you are that looked nothing like Jesus. Help us to learn from Jesus what you are really like, so that we can know your grace, so that we can know your love, so that our lives can be truly changed. Thank you, God. Oh, and thank you that we get to celebrate this sacrament of Holy Communion together with Christians around the world. We offer to you today these simple gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Jesus, as you gathered with your disciples the night before you were arrested, just hours before you would have to carry a cross to that hill and die on it for us. You gathered your disciples and you took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." You took the cup and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus, you said that this seals the new agreement, the new covenant between God and humanity. That if we want to connect with you, God, it's made possible by Jesus, by his death and resurrection, by the victory that he won. Help us. Help us today to come to you, to put our trust in you, to let down the mask and the facade that says I've got it all together, to just confess, to admit that you're right, God. We've messed this thing up. We've not always loved you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. We need your grace. We need your forgiveness today as every day. So we offer you ourselves, God. And we pray that by your Spirit's power at work within us, that we might be changed from the inside out, that we might get set on a different path forward, that we might experience this life that you have given us in place of the death we'd earned for ourselves. Thank you, God. Thank you for this love that you've shown us in Jesus Christ. You have been so good, and we are so grateful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me in praying the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. It's open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today, all of us who are hungry for his grace, grateful for his love. If you're curious what's in this little basket, there's little cut-up pieces of pita bread, or there's some little round gluten-free wafers if you need those, or we've got some little cups that you can peel back and take back to your seat and peel it back and get to the bread, peel it back, get to the juice. We started doing that during COVID and realized that some of you guys would usually just prefer that, to not be touching stuff that maybe the person before you touched. So if you prefer one of those cups, that's fine. And we always have those in the basket by the door too that you can grab on your way in if you don't want to stand in the line. We're trying to do everything we can to make it easy for us to come to Jesus, to experience his grace, to receive that love. So let's celebrate today. Let's give thanks.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now amazing grace.
unending love, amazing grace.
Yes. God, thank you for the amazing grace, the amazing love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Again, I pray, would you fill us with the Spirit of Christ? Would you change us so that we can live in this world as the body of Christ, so that we can carry to others the same grace and goodness you've given to us? Thank you, God. Thank you for 25 years. Thank you for as many more years as you give us. God, we are grateful to be a part of your good work in the world. We are thankful to be loved by you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. I hope you come back in about an hour and hour and a half, and join us for the party.